will say that I have shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding? With my hook for a hand, I'll split you from your groin to your gullet.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Interview with the Horror Virgin. I'm your host, James, and with me I have...
Elise. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Elise?
I'm doing really good.
Good, good, good. I finally got you on the podcast after so much stuff was happening.
Right. It's been a while.
It has. Well, how you doing today?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to see the movie we're going to watch.
Right. I am too, actually. But before we get into the reveal of what she's going to be watching, let's start off with what I ask everybody. What is your horror knowledge? Like, you know, start from beginning to finish about horror with you.
Right. So everyone, like, in my family thinks I'm weird because I've loved horror since, like, I was a kid. Read all the Goosebumps, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And, like, in my middle school years, I guess that's when the Scream movies came out. So I started to become obsessed with those slasher horrors, and here we are today. I really like, my favorite right now, still is, Midsommar. I cannot explain you why, but it's my comfort horror movie.
So you're a big fan of, like, the A24 horror films?
Oh, yeah.
All the way from, you know, It Comes at Night to, you know... What's going to be happening soon, I think it's like on July 27th, you know, Talk to Me, which, fun little thing about Talk to Me, that was actually a short on YouTube, which is now turned into a feature-length film.
Yeah, I've gone on like the rabbit hole of like the YouTube shorts, and there's so many that they need to make into like long feature-length or TV shows. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, have you seen, you've seen Lights Out, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the short?
Oh yeah, the Lights Out short is still terrifying. I watched it recently, I was like, this is... really scary.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's amazing that, you know, they turn it into, you know, feature-length film. Was it anything amazing? No, but it was still something fun to watch. And also the fact that you got to get somebody to take what was, like, you know, 2 minutes to 2.5 hours.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But cool. Now, you mentioned slasher films earlier. Mm-hmm. Would you say, like, slasher is, like, your favorite horror genre?
I don't think it is my favorite. I think I like more of the psychological horror that they have now, like with Hereditary and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love found footage. I'm like the only one, I think, in the world.
Oh no, I do too.
I love it. I just like, and I'm really into like demonic type possession movies, because there's like, it's almost like there's no way of getting out of them. I don't know.
Like, you talking about like the paranoia of, like, you know, once you find out that everything's paranormal, then everybody's against you.
Right. Yeah.
That's a very scary feeling when you think about it, because it really isolates you.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, we were mentioning found footage. We'll get to the movie in a bit, but, like, you know, you talk about found footage films. You have seen, like, you know, you've seen Blair Witch Project.
That was probably my first taste at it. And then I've seen, of course, all the Paranormal Activity movies, which, you know, they're good. I like the VHS series.
They're pretty good, too. The third one is absolute garbage, but the most recent one's 1994, and I think the other one's like 88 or something like that. They're not bad. I will say, in the most recent one, I think it was like the 88 one, or 94, excuse me, that one has upped the gore to the nth degree, like in a beautiful way.
Right. There's some things you can't unsee. But yeah, I really enjoy those.
Now, fun little thing about some found footage films. No, we're not watching a found footage film, so don't get your hopes up. You mentioned, like, you know, you've seen all this stuff, but if you actually want to go back and watch, like, one of the very first found footage films, or what is considered the first found footage film, I believe it is called Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this one.
Isn't
it this one that's, like, there might be actual real cannibals in the movie?
Yes, also the fact that, unfortunately, there is some animal brutality in it, which, that's the part where I'm just kind of like, yeah, I understand why they got brought up with charges on this.
It's like Green Inferno.
No, it's not like Green Inferno, because there's not a lot of screaming and not a lot of Eli Roth. Sorry. I like Eli Roth for, like, some of his films, but, like, his other stuff after Cabin Fever, I can't do it. Hostile.
Green Inferno is one of those, I cannot watch that ever again. It is way too much.
Well, the jokes in it kind of ruin it for me, too. Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, why do we throw in gratuitous fart jokes in a horror film? It's not funny.
I don't know. Make you laugh, but no, it doesn't.
No, I meant like making me laugh is like, you know, seeing Kathy Bates bring in the pig from Misery, you know, after you hobble my leg. See, that's a little bit different than me like, oh, I just pooped myself. Aren't I funny? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, but if you ever want to watch that, or if you want to watch another one, it's called The Last Broadcast. This actually came before, this actually was like in between Cannibal Holocaust and Blair Witch. So it was the one that kind of like started the Blair Witch type documentary, whereas like Cannibal Holocaust, like it was a found footage.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I need to look into those.
It's a really good one. I think it goes under the radar a bit, but it's got a really cool twist at the end. And I think it's what really set up found footage films what they are today, especially in the style of Blair Witch.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but aside from that, the film that Lisa will be watching today is the second best Clive Barker horror film, in my opinion, which is Candyman, starring the greatest actor in probably horror films that I would love to have seen more of, Tony Todd, a man whose voice who could serenade Morgan Freeman if he felt like it.
Yeah, he, like, I only know him really from his cameo in The Final Destination.
Oh, yeah, like The Undertaker? Or...
Yeah, that's it. And I'm like, he's like a, I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Well, since you're holding the DVD right now, what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so, like, it's got a bee on it and an eyeball. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's it.
I see a dude in there.
You see a silhouette and everything?
A silhouette in there.
Okay, cool.
We dare you to say his name 5 times.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. The fact that she just read that lets me segue into the next question. Uh-huh. How do you feel about, like, urban legend myths? You know, like the whole Bloody Mary, Blue Baby, all that stuff where you have to turn the lights out and do all this, like, you know, fun little teenage stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember doing that when I was little. We did the Bloody Mary thing, and we swore we saw her in the mirror. And we would do it, the light as a feather, stiff as a board thing.
Oh, like the legacy thing where the, what was it? Was it called legacy or
what?
The, oh no, I'm trying to think of the.
They did it in The Craft.
The Craft. I don't know why I said legacy.
Yeah, and like we would lift each other. Like it was weird. And then one time we were doing the Ouija board in my house.
You brave. High school. You brave.
And, well, I've never touched a Ouija board since then. I don't remember what happened, but like. It's like I blocked out what happened, but it was so scary that we've never touched a Ouija board since.
Well, fun fact, since we're here in the square of McDonough, there is one place here that I won't tell you. I'm going to let you figure it on your own that has dealt with Ouija boards and seances and still has some very dangerous activity to this very day.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to figure out which one.
You are, because I can't give it away.
Or I just need to go on the ghost tour
exactly.
And I'll find out.
Yes. Self-promotion of a Southern Ghost Tours of McDonough, please. But no, aside from that, yeah, you've heard about like urban legends and all that. Mm-hmm. Now, how much merit do you think there are to them? Like you said, you swore that you saw like Bloody Mary and all that.
I mean, now as an adult, you're like, well, we're just kids and our imaginations were going crazy. But I don't know. They get started for a reason. So there's got to be something behind it all.
Like you feel like when you give energy to these type of things, that's what really manifests it with fear other than just seeing it.
Right. Yeah. So I need to find out what happens when I say Candyman 5 times. I've said it twice now.
Yeah, but you got to say it you got to say it in a mirror.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh my God, Michael Keaton. No, that would have been great if he did show up.
Yeah, it would be.
But I know we're getting off track here, but we're to get a little bit of history on this. Clive Barker, who did the Hellraiser movie as well. That was his. This is also his. But whereas like most of his films, it's usually reworded for their title. Like, for instance, Hellraiser isn't called Hellraiser in the books. It's called The Hellbound Heart. Mm. But for Candyman, I don't know how this came about. His original book was called, or the story was called, The Forbidden.
Mm. Okay.
And the same type of premise was there as well, you know, in these, you know, down-looking towns, go and investigate something that is, you know, happening with murders and all that. I don't want to give too much away because The Forbidden kind of goes on without that. And The Forbidden, I believe, is like a short story because if you actually go find the audiobook, it's like 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So it's not that long, but they managed to stretch it out a lot for this. There's a lot about this I love. To me, it's the music. And when you get to the music, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Because when you watch Candyman, it's almost going to feel dreamlike.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. Yeah.
You're ready?
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Well, we're going to start up Candyman, and then we'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, we're back, and I think Elise has a lot on her mind, so I'm going to let her just take the mic real quick.
I mean, I really like that. I can't believe I haven't seen that movie before. It was a lot gorier than I thought it was going to be. I love the little Alice in Wonderland kind of motif throughout. Yeah, I don't know.
You liked, like, the whole, how it just felt like, I was saying, very ephemeral, very, like, you know, just dreamlike. Just like, that, I feel like nothing was real, almost.
And I did not realize it was like had a nice little revenge at the end of the story.
Oh, where Helen kills Trevor.
Female empowerment, man. Yes.
Come back as an urban legend and have your ex or whoever treated you badly. Right. Just say your name 5 times in the mirror, right?
Man, if only that were something that could happen. Anyway, not to delve into my own past. Oh, wow, yeah. What's his name?
Tony Todd.
Okay, I gotta say it. He's hot. Candyman's hot, man. I was digging, like, when he was in the, what's it called? The garage and saying her name. I'm just like, damn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Candyman, man.
Yeah, and like I was saying, if you, like, watch Candyman, guys, mm-hmm. When you see, like, Tony Todd come around, you do not hear his footsteps at all. And they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
To really make him, like, he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But he is there, but he isn't. Like, he can still, you know, make an impact on whatever's around him, but without anyone really, like, knowing that he's there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, it was kind of frustrating to watch. Oh, shit, they're trying to make her, oh, I cussed, oh, well.
I don't care.
They're trying to make her the crazy one, but no one can see him but her.
That's another thing I really did like about that. It went from her trying to find this and debunk it to where mm-hmm. it kind of, like, you know, does a complete 360 on her.
Right. Turns out she's a part of the legend.
It is, yeah.
She becomes it.
Yeah, now she becomes part of the legend of Candyman and all that stuff. Yeah, but you thought it was pretty good and everything.
I did.
The gore, you'd probably say, what, you give it, like, what, how many Tony Todds out of 10?
How many Tony Todds out of 10? Ooh, I think I would give it, 9.5. Tony Todd's.
9.5 Tony Todd's. Because he did all the gore.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I've got to watch the new one. I'll try not to compare them. I'm sure they're...
Right.
Is it a remake or is it a requel?
All right, so this is where I'm going to go on this with it real quick. Go off, okay. Now, the original, like, actual, like, trilogy of Candyman was the second one, which was Farewell to the Flesh. I wish I could really go into the story of it, but it was so, like, out there that I don't really remember. And then the third one was called Day of the Dead. Completely different character as well, but still Candyman, but, like, there was a different girl this time. They didn't really, like, keep it consistent, and I don't really think they made it connect to, like, the previous one. Like, I don't think they barely,
like,
even...
like Halloween's Season of the Witch.
Hey, that was good. Don't you get on my... I will talk about Tom Atkins till the day I die. He was great in that.
It's a different one.
Okay.
We won't go off on that tangent.
That's okay. I'm going to keep my opinions to myself, but yes.
Save for another podcast.
Something like that, yeah. Well, I've already done Halloween 3.
True.
Now, with the new one that came out, I am going to go ahead and just say it is a sequel.
Okay.
It is a sequel because of one scene in that movie, but you have to watch it to really get it.
I'll see that.
I own it.
Yeah.
And I think it's still on Amazon Prime.
I think you can stream it somewhere.
I believe it's on Amazon Prime, but yeah, I'm not going to go into that one, but I did like how they kind of went somewhat of a similar route from the original, because it makes it almost feel like a remake, but then when you see where the story goes towards the end, you're like, "Oh, this is a continuation."
Right. And are they trying, I wonder if they're trying to do more? Are they trying to make this franchise come back to life?
Maybe in a way, kind of like how we've done with, like, Michael Myers and Freddy, Jason, because, you know, Candyman's kind of, like, you know, under the radar right now. I mean, look at Ghostface. Ghostface has got how many movies at this point? Six going on
really,
seven?
They gotta stop. They gotta stop.
I'm afraid you're right. That's why.
The last one didn't do it for me.
I stopped after 4.
The one they did at the 5th one, I guess, wasn't bad because it was a requel. They're trying to reboot it, and they need to stop.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Just, yeah, sometimes when you just keep, it's like you're beating a dead horse. You're, like, trying to get as much as you can out of it, and then unfortunately, when you try to, like, finish out, you kill it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I think, what happened with Halloween right now when they brought it back a third time.
Right.
And now it's
that
just...
That is like the last... The final.
I haven't seen it yet, but after I saw Halloween Kills, I got really upset because I'm like, that's not how guns work, dude. David Gordon Green, that's not how guns work. You can't hit somebody with the door while they're still holding on to the gun because they're going to drop it.
Yeah.
They don't shoot themselves.
Everything.
This isn't John Wick. This is Halloween.
Oh, man.
Come on. No, but.
John Wick could just be hit with all sorts of bullets.
Oh, my God. It's been ridiculous.
That was such an exhausting movie. That's, again, another tangent. But
yeah, sorry.
Most recent Touch on Wick was so exhausting to watch.
Yeah, but not to go off too much on that. But, yeah, again, our point is when you just keep the character around for too long, it loses that essence. It loses that fear. You know what I mean? Like, if we brought Candyman back for 6 films, do you think it'd still be the same?
No. And I would like them to continue this after I see the. I might change my opinion after I see the most recent one, but I would like to see more Candyman. I think that's something we haven't really explored in today's modern genre of horror.
Right, and I know
and
you're
there are
probably
so many other movies that could be made and original stories, but
no, you are absolutely right. Because sometimes I meant like right now we've got like someone new in like, you know, the horror icons, which is Art the Clown from the Terrifier series.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to get up there as well. I may do Terrifier on here, but if only if the person that's watching it kind of has the stomach for some like really, really weird. I want to say like torture porn level gore.
Yeah,
that's the thing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Art the Clown, he's got technically 3 movies, even though he was kind of in something called Hallows Eve. But with Candyman, I feel like he can keep going at least for a good 3 movies.
Yeah.
I feel like 3 would be the magical number to stop at, or else you keep going and it's just...
It becomes way too much.
You're trying to get greedy.
What about... I could see a TV series, a very limited series, could really delve into the lore of Candyman and go back to his origin, and like they could really make something new with that. But right now, like, nothing gonna be happening.
I can totally see that. Yeah. Now the cool thing is, as you were watching Candyman, you can kind of see like the direction they were going with it, make it like a socio, you know, economic type thing, or like, you know, a cultural thing about like gentrification, if you really think about it. And that's what they were kind of going with this. But originally in the short story, The Forbidden, character in Forbidden really didn't have a race.
Oh.
He was never white, nor was he black.
It is interesting that they did choose, I mean, because typically in horror movies, the killer is a white male.
Right.
And it is kind of cool that they kind of gave a black man a starring role in this, in a horror genre especially.
Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about that was Tony Todd, one of his interviews on during Candyman, he says, like, when they did this, they had to be very careful. They had to be careful with the NAACP because they didn't want this to be something negative on them. They did not want this to be like, you know, oh, he's just a violent, you know, black slasher killer, that's it. No, they didn't do that. They did it in such a way now that you see it. It's almost like he's a tragic, broken villain.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a villain, like, you kind of root for a little bit. Now, killing innocent people, maybe not so much, but, like, his I don't know.
His character, he had, like, a taste for art.
Right.
So I think he wants to keep this both grotesque but beautiful image of himself around to instill fear, but also the fear has some benefits to it.
Yeah.
Like he was saying, you'll make lovers cling together in their rapture with our stories. Children will be frightened by us.
It's hot.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. But no, that's what Tony Todd said about like the whole process behind Candyman, because they wanted to make sure it wasn't going to upset people with them just being like I was saying before, depicting it in a very negative way.
Yeah, I get that. Awesome.
Yeah, and we were mentioning it before, but before I get to that, actually, let's ask you some questions about, like, you know, what were your, like, some favorite parts of this film?
Ooh, I think, I'm trying to think. I really like the part in her apartment what's her name? Ardelia. She's not that, Bernadette.
Bernadette.
Or whatever, comes in, and all the kind of gore that happens there. Oh, and actually the first thing where she wakes up in that woman's apartment and has got blood on her and she's like, what is going on? I don't know where I'm at. That was pretty crazy. There were a couple of times I jumped. What was yours? What's your favorite part?
My favorite part has to be the iconic one with him and the bees.
Oh, yeah.
I love that scene so much just because of, like, all that happened around. Like, how did you have... When you were watching that, I could kind of see you going, like, ugh.
Yeah, I was like, ugh, God, that's gross, and but also awesome.
Especially like, when he opens up his cloak.
I'm always, like, smiling, kind of, but, like, ew, this is awesome, gross, yeah. Yeah, showing his, like, revealing him his chest area and, like, that was really cool.
The rib cage, the organs, but then you just see, like, all the bees.
And I guess I've seen that imagery over and over again. I just never really... saw it in the movie, so
yeah, but
until now.
Well, as I was mentioning with her, the whole thing was interesting, but the actress that plays, you know, Helen, she is actually allergic to bees. Now, I don't think it was like she was deathly allergic, but she was probably going to swell up, and one bee sting's one thing, but you have a whole bunch of them around you, that gets to be trouble. So they had paramedics like everywhere for that. But here was the funny thing. During their scene between her and Tony Todd, there was like a safety net around Tony Todd and her, but the crew and the paramedics were on the other side of the netting. And then this whole time she's thinking, what the hell? You guys are going to have to come through the net to help me if I get stung. And it's probably not just going to be one sting. It might be several. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I go into anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen today.
No, it would not. I know with what's going on right now. I know SAG has been like, nope, none of that, especially after the events that happened with the Twilight Zone movie. Mm. Yeah, we're not going to have another little an accidental death on set.
No, thank you.
So, yeah. But the cool thing was Tony Todd said that there was an additional, like, bee sting fee for him, which I believe was $1,000 a sting.
Oh, dang.
And I believe he got stung at the most 7 to 10 times.
Wow.
So he made an extra $10,000 that day.
That's worth it. That would be in my contract plus a few extras.
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought it was pretty fair too.
Yeah.
But the bees that they were working with weren't just like some wild bees that they just caught. No, there was an actual bee handler on set. And he even talked to Tony Todd about like how to really body language with bees, know who they are. Like he would even pick out some and be like, that one's, you know, he gave them names, strangely enough.
That's
the
so bee funny.
Handler did, yeah. But I guess what he was trying to do, he may have not been actually naming every single one.
Yeah.
He was trying to, I guess, make them feel a little bit more relaxed around the bees. And I think it worked because poor Tony Todd, he had all these bees on him and inside
in his
mouth.
That is crazy. I can't even imagine, like, doing that. It's very fear factor. Old school reference.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, you know, there's people, like, on TikTok where they, like, they're bee rescuers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like they scoop these bees and, like, are able to do it without getting I don't know how they do that.
Again, I think it's just that when they aren't being agitated or threatened.
Yeah.
And, again, like you were saying, as long as you stay calm, because the thing is, people don't realize that when you, the more you move fast and the more carbon dioxide you exhale,
right,
the more the bees are going to react to that. Because the first things bees react to when you get stung is movement.
Yeah.
The more you move, the more they're like, yep, that's it. We're going for it.
I'm thinking, because like, I'm not really afraid of bees, but I'm not great around them.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely do what you're not supposed to do, which is run.
Right. And
squat.
Don't do that. Yeah, basically, the more movement that you
do that, kids,
the more jerking that you do around, the bees are going to react to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Little factoid about bees.
Yeah, just a little fun thing about that. And just, I think that's how they were able to keep them calm on set as well. Do all that. But, yeah, just a fun little thing with about him and the bees and all that. But I think, like, you know, like you were saying, Candyman's a really, really good horror character and all that.
Yeah. He might be up there with some of my favorites. Like
Jason.
I don't care about Jason as
much. Oh, okay. Why?
I don't know. I like those movies, but they're not, like, my favorite. I'm partial to Michael Myers.
Okay.
Michael Myers is, like, the ultimate, like, you can't kill him. Even though they have multiple times. He's still around. And then, of course, Ghostface is just going to be there.
Ghostface, yeah.
The original trilogy of Ghostface.
Yes, the original trilogy of Ghostface, mind you, yeah. Now, what would you say there were some things that you didn't like about it? Whether it be just something so minor or, you know, just like, oh, God, why'd they do that?
There were a lot. I mean, it was just the director's choice. Zooming in on her face, a lot of, let's look at her face really close. And I know there was, like, intention behind that, but I was like, that's a lot. And then he flew out the window that one time.
Oh, yeah, in the hospital.
I was like, okay. It was scary. It was like, oh, God, he's getting that guy. And then he flies out the window. And I'm like, okay. It just was funny. But not much. I really liked, I did mention I liked a lot of the shots they did. they did a lot of helicopter shots showing.
Oh yeah, establishing.
A lot of B-roll for a, well, not probably B-roll, but find it.
Establishing showing, shots, all yeah. that stuff, showing them where they're at.
Mm. It was cool.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that you enjoyed some stuff and all that, you know. You saw, like, the cast and everything, and these are, like, some very seasoned actors, too. Mm-hmm. The girl who plays, the actress that plays Bernadette, her name's Vanessa. She's actually a New York thespian, and that's kind of where she did, like, all of her training and stuff. And I think even Tony Todd mentions that, like, in one of his interviews, when this he was approached with this, he was just kind of like, oh, my God, Candyman, what is this? Is this going to be, like, because at first they were going to make it funny.
Oh, no. I would have been very upset if they did that.
They were, like, I think he mentioned it in his, like, interview. He wanted, it was going to be, like, Eddie Murphy funny. And
no.
They didn't want to go that route, or, like, they decided to just do something different and not make it funny. Mm-hmm. And I think it saved the film doing that.
Yeah, I would have, that would not have been good. I like the music. I forgot to mention the music. I like the score is really cool. And it's, I guess I recognize it. I've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip Glass, look at him.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, I think the director said he was not going to compose anything ever again after this because I think he just liked what was there in there. And you could tell that's what they wanted to do was, you know, bring Philip Glass on, but also give it this, again, this dreamlike, very, very somber piano, no, like, heavy, you know,
there's
instrumentals.
Organ in there.
Yeah, organ music, you
church,
know what I mean?
Church, but not church music.
Yeah, so... out of everything you've seen in there, would you definitely, like, recommend Candyman to, like, a friend or do, like, a party movie with Candyman?
I definitely would. That would actually be fun, a party with Candyman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got Halloween coming up. You may as well, like, you know, do, like, a Candyman-themed something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm always down.
I mean, let's go.
Yeah. So, definitely, I'm glad that you say that you recommend this and everything. I mean, we got a film that was made in 1992. That's when I was born. And do you still think it still holds up to this day?
I do. That's one thing about when you're recommending older horror movies. Some people can't put themselves in that time and realize this is made in a time when special effects were not, like, everything in there was, like, a practical effect. And that I really appreciate.
All that corn syrup.
Yeah, all that corn syrup, even though it sucks to get it off your body there. It holds up. Like, for today's standards, I guess you could say. Especially the gore.
I think so, too. And as we were saying before we conclude and everything, they didn't show him killing. They never showed the hook. I mean, you see the actors doing the motion and the blood coming out of their mouth, but you never see them, like, doing a close-up of, like, the hook, just, like, eviscerating them.
Yeah, you really, it's left a lot to your imagination, I guess, especially when you just see the bodies. Oh, the poor dog.
I know. You didn't see it happen to the dog. Yes, spoiler alert, the dog does die in this film. So if there's any people that don't want to see a dog die, you don't see it happen, but you see what's left of the dog, unfortunately. I'm sorry. But yeah, and also if you think about it, the audio part of him, of the killings too. You hear you hear the ripping, you hear the stabbing, and you hear the, I think Vanessa probably has the best scream in this entire movie. Like, it is blood curdling when she jumps right into it.
Yeah, that's, and people that have really great horror screams, I appreciate you. I do not have a good one, so.
Nope.
I can't scream.
Faye Ray still has the best scream ever.
Yeah, she does.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is still the scream queen in my,
I mean, really?
My eyes. And the guy from Freddy's Revenge has the best male scream queen voice ever. If you ever want to hear a very good, like, man, like a teenage boy, like, scream in a horror film, his is just absolutely beautiful. Yeah,
that's but hard to accomplish.
It is, but well, Elise, you got anything else you want to add to it?
I don't, but it was so great doing this. I love that movie. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Well, I'm so glad you decided to come on the show. And if you ever want to come back and do another horror film, we'll always be here at the studio, our haunted studio, ready to do some more horror films.
All right. Let's do it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.